This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Ursula, I'm going to give you a choice here. Do you want to start with something controversial or one of the most adorable things you've ever heard?
Adorable, please.
I was hoping you'd go in that direction. Okay, you ever watch Law & Order?
No.
Really?
I know.
One of the longest running shows in television history.
It would require a commitment.
No, it really doesn't. So this is the opening
theme song. I love the
theme song. Yeah, the opening theme song, which I've pointed out many times, sounds a lot like an Eagles song.
It does.
Okay, here, that's the opening theme song. Here's the Eagles song. I think they sound a lot alike.
It's got the same feel, but certainly not the same.
But that's not adorable.
Yeah, no, that's not adorable.
None of that would qualify as adorable. Okay, there's a German Shepherd. At the end of Law & Order, the closing theme song, it has music that you'll maybe recognize. And then the producer of Law & Order is one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood history, Dick Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the graphic comes up after the closing music, Wolf Films, I think it is, and it's a picture of a wolf howling. Here's a German Shepherd that loves the closing credits to Law and Order. And he, I'll have to give you the visual. The owner starts the DVR with the closing credits playing, and the German Shepherd immediately jumps up, puts its paws on the cabinet that the TV's on, and puts its nose right up against the screen. And here is a German Shepherd singing along with the Law & Order closing credits. I'm sorry, that's just one of the most adorable things I've ever heard in my life. Oh, man.
Does your sweet dog make any noises?
But he's not a howler.
No.
No, we would try Starwood. You know, if sirens would go by,
yeah.
Star would howl long. We would, you know, we would get Star going because that's what us humans do.
My husband discovered that our dog Scooter will respond to one of those, you know, those little horns that you use on New Year's Eve,
mm-hmm.
those annoying ones.
Sure.
So I keep trying to throw the horn that we have away, and my husband keeps pulling it back out of recycling because I think he just wants to irritate our dog.
Why not? That's part of why they're here.
You know what? That's not entertaining.
By the way, a quick buddy story. So, as you know, my wife
is a saint.
Has had it with Buddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was never a fan kind of right from the get-go. I wanted to replace Star. We waited a year.
You did.
Yeah. And our youngest daughter, who's living at home, loves Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife says, well, then you take Buddy to the vet for the shot. And so my youngest daughter took Buddy last night. And they muzzled him, but he was just frantic about to get this shot, and they were able to somehow inject whatever they needed into him. But they also gave us two instructions. One, bring him by a couple of times just to come in, put him on the scale. We'll give him a treat. He'll get used to us, not think of us as bad people. Number two, you fill this Xanax prescription.
Are you serious?
Next time, and you, give him some doggy downers. before you bring him in again.
Buddy was the calmest of the dogs when we had to bring the dog to work day.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Not the calmest.
No, he wasn't the calmest.
No, he wasn't.
No, okay. Jillian's dog was sleeping at her feet
the
whole
time.
Yeah, that's
true. Jillian, but Buddy was doing great.
Yeah, he was doing okay. But
and to clarify, that howl is for the Wolf Films, because that's the production company, and that's the howl for Wolf Films at the end.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you said coyote or something.
Setting the whole thing up.
I thought you said coyote.
No, I said Dick Wolf is the producer. Wolf Films comes up. You should try listening to the show sometime.
I'm multitasking.
Really, that's really good show.
She was enjoying lunch while listening.
You're missing a blockbuster.
Seriously, Ursula brought me lunch today. I'm a little distracted.
Okay, I got to get to the big media controversy. You know about this?
Yes.
Okay. A meteorologist in Rochester, New York. He has been on the air for a couple of years there. And he was doing a forecast on Friday, and he was trying to say they have a Martin Luther King Jr. Park in Rochester, and they had a live cam showing the weather at the park. And here's what came out of the mouth of meteorologist Jeffrey Capel.
Great, this is the way it looked out at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. The ice rink.
Okay. It came out. Martin Luther and Coon, and he corrects it right away, Coon King. And so nobody really even caught it when he first said it, because you can kind of miss it just listening to that.
Great, this is the way it looked out at Martin Luther Coon King Jr. Park, the ice rink.
Okay, so somebody recorded it off their DVR, posted it on social media. This was on Friday when he said that. Sunday morning, it starts to go berserk. And the mayor of Rochester, who is African-American, she called for his immediate firing. So did some members of the business community. And so then the general manager, and you've worked in a lot of broadcast operations.
Several. I've worked here a long time, but then I worked at two others.
Right, but you've worked for a lot of general managers.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we have a great general manager right
Fantastic.
Now. Well, one of my favorites ever. Maybe my favorite ever. So, but you know, these guys who become general manager in Rochester, sometimes they're accomplished people. Sometimes, so anyway,
I think the same can be said in pretty much any market. Yeah. Let's face it.
It can be said in our company. And again, current.
We're not talking about current.
Fantastic.
And in fact, we're talking. I'm
more
talking
recent.
About the last. Yeah, the last like company that owned us, not this current one. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Every GM that under Bonneville was really good. Oh,
great.
Man. There was that middle period, though. My goodness. Anyway, so everyone's calling for the firing of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the general manager, Richard Rheingold, he came on to make the announcement yesterday.
As a result of that broadcast, meteorologist Jeremy Capel is no longer with News 10 NBC. We believe strongly in holding our reporters and anchors to the highest standard. We're proud of our dedicated newsroom professionals, and expect and require that each respects and understands that their behavior reflects directly on the station for which they work in the community we serve.
Okay, and the anchors, as they tossed to him, they said after an extensive investigation.
Now, the anchors did the investigation?
No, they said that they made the decision after the general manager launched an extensive investigation. What exactly are you investigating?
Well, maybe if he had any previous incidents.
Right.
Or does anyone know him to be racist?
Right. And I suppose that's what it is. But I'm guessing this, as I said, started to go viral on Sunday.
I think they're reacting to the what happened on social media.
Yes.
Our Friday broadcast does not represent the values of News 10 NBC, its hardworking staff, or the great people of Rochester. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of America's greatest heroes, for whom I and all of us at News 10 NBC have the utmost respect. I'm terribly sorry to all of our viewers We are redoubling our efforts to ensure that this never happens again.
Okay, so who knows what's in this guy's heart? But I don't know how you redouble efforts.
Yeah, well, but you know what's crazy, though? I mean, this same word has been, like, several other people on the air in recent years have accidentally said that same word.
Yes. And there are people who believe that the reason is not because of any intent of a racial slur, but because it is Martin Luther King, a K sound.
Yeah, with a
junior. And there's a K sound and there's an oon sound.
Yeah.
And if you are talking fast, there are a lot of people who say, and there have been many similar missteps by broadcasters.
Well, including Mike and Mike on ESPN. Same exact word.
Right. Who make their company a lot of money
He was not fired, but a weather guy in Vegas in 2005 said the same word.
Yeah.
I would say that, well, as far as an investigation goes, is that not just going to determine? I mean, you're looking into whether they're racist or not. So can you give us one other thing that says he's racist?
Right.
That would be the
investigation.
Then
they asked the general manager if they thought it was a racial slur.
Do you believe that what he said was intentional?
You know, we've made our decision. It's a difficult, painful decision. And I think that anything that transpired between Jeremy and the station and those conversations should remain private.
Okay, no. If you have to answer that question. If you're firing somebody, if you're taking away their career. And so then this guy, Jeremy, the meteorologist, he goes on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere, and he's sitting there.
Facebook.
His wife is sitting next to him. By all accounts, they are very active in their church, in the community. They are a wonderful community asset. And so here's his explanation of how it came out.
What happened on Friday, you know, to me, it's a simple misunderstanding. If you watch me regularly, you know that I tend to contain a lot of information in my weathercast, which forces me to speak fast. And unfortunately, I spoke a little too fast when I was referencing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So fast to the point where I jumbled a couple of words. Now, in my mind, I knew I had mispronounced, but there was no malice. There was nothing that I could have. I had no idea the way it came across.
I mean, this guy has spent his lifetime, and when he's sitting in his house, he's in his home office, you see all his AMS, American Meteorological, see, I can't even say things. I can't even say words. He's got all his plaques and certification. He's, you know, it's Rochester. What's he ever going to do again professionally? How's he going to, when he goes to his next job interview, why'd you leave your last job?
Well, given how much attention this story is now getting, I am going to guess if he's any good. I have no idea about his talent as far as being a meteorologist, but I think there would be people who would hire him and say, you know what, that was a mistake.
No, it's too radioactive. There will be activists. I'm telling you, the New York Times came out over the weekend and blasted this Rochester station for not firing him fast enough. As soon as the video came out, and here's what he said in closing.
I'm so disappointed that my career could end this way, and extremely disappointed at the decisions made by my television station, whom I expected a certain level of support from, and I did not receive at all. And so here we are looking for what we're going to do next. I can't speak to their intent. I can only speak to mine. And in no way, and those that know me, you know, I don't even have to say it. I would never intend harm that way to anyone. And for those also that are out there that may be hurting because someone has cast judgment on them so quickly, or something that was said, or maybe something that they didn't say, they stumbled their words and the video got out, please hold back your judgment. As our great teacher tells us, judge not, lest thou be not judged.
But you have the mayor of the city, you have the business community demanding that he be fired. And I'm just saying, these are such scary times. And I'm talking about for every one of us in not just this business, but any, because everything you say in any business setting can be captured on somebody's phone, audio can be grabbed, and I don't know what's in this guy's heart, but I listened to, it was about a 5-minute Facebook thing. They sounded like a lovely young couple, him and his wife. And
well, just the fact that, I mean, you know, it's a horribly offensive word, but the fact that it's been said in the context of trying to say Dr. Martin Luther King, and I'm going really carefully now.
I know.
I'm thinking, oh, my word.
Yeah. But the fact that there is a K sound on King and the oon sound in Junior, it's not beyond credulity. And I mean, what kind of a person would do that as some kind of gag and knowing that it's going to blow up their life? There's no way that was intentional. And yet he gets fired for that. He's never going to be able to work again.
I hope you're wrong on that part.
No.
I really do.
He goes to his next interview. Why'd you leave your last job? Oh, I said a racial slur about Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, there's a story though behind it, and
yeah,
hopefully
people aren't going to want to hear it. And then the business community will say, "You hire that guy, we will boycott your station." And he's radioactive now, and it's just these are times.
He's been a meteorologist for nearly 2 decades. Graduated from Purdue.
Yeah. And so after 20 years pursuing his love, and they moved to Rochester a few years ago. I don't know what market he was in before that. But, you know, Rochester's not the biggest market in the world. It's not like you can slide too far down from Rochester. I mean,
well, he was in Kentucky, Kansas, Texas, and Mississippi.
Okay, well, Tri-Cities. He can come out to the West Coast, I guess. But he didn't blow up his career by saying this intentionally.
Great. This is the way it looked out at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. The ice rink.
There's nothing there that suggests to me that there was any malice in his heart. And you know, he said in that last soundbite that he's really disappointed in the TV station for not standing behind him. I agree with him. I think that businesses that cave in an era when there is such incredible, from, you know, Roseanne to all the people we've talked to, what's her name, Megyn Kelly, and all these people, there are all these incidents that people would completely forget about a week later, but there's an uproar, and there are these knee-jerk media outlets that say, we got to react to the uproar, and they will blow up somebody's life because of it. I don't like it. Reverse it. As the great Ron Forcell would have said. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. By the way, the only radio show in the world that drops Ron Forcell references. Hey, Dave Wyman's going to come by for a visit. He will join us next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Talking heads?
Men without hats?
No, they're wearing hats today, Dory.
Yeah. Dang it. Oh. Yeah, no. I got nothing.
Nothing. This is Yaz. Oh, or Yazoo. You don't know Yaz?
How are we supposed to get this?
I don't know. I thought you guys knew music.
It's pretty clear we don't.
Well, yeah, today.
I mean, you got to play Blue Oyster Cult for me to get anything.
Noted.
Dave Wyman is with us for his regular Tuesday visit, and this will be the last one where, for quite a while, where we'll have a recent Seahawk game to talk about.
I know. I was so bummed after that. We were just talking to Sean and Tracy Taylor and Nicole. It was just so. Tracy's husband said that I looked defeated on the post-game show. Yeah. Over on the TV side, Dory. I was on the TV side.
Yeah,
that was just, I wasn't ready for it to be over. I love this team. And like I was telling Nicole, I got a chance to talk to 8 guys a week. Because our show, we always get somebody in person. And then, you know, the huddle, we get two guys that come in there, and then at the Thursday night show, Hawks Live. And it's just a fun team. It's a great team, great group of guys, and a really unlikely season for them. And they really made the most of it. I know there's not lots of complaining about the play calling and everything in that last game, but, man, that game came down to, like, two plays.
Yeah, and the complaints about the play calling, they had the second-best rushing attack in team history. They're one of the highest-scoring teams, second half of the season in team history. Yeah. And Dallas has a good defense. You stick with what got you.
Yes.
There. Yeah, I don't understand the complaints, Dave.
I don't either. And that's the thing that was their biggest error, is that they got away from that in the beginning.
Right.
And that's when they were averaging 69 yards a game. And it was like, Rabel and I were up there in the Denver game in Chicago. It's like 3rd and 3, 4. Run it, man. And Dwayne Brown, remember, he was mic'd up. They had to bleep half of it out because he wanted to run the ball. And so, yeah, you don't just desert something that has given you basically the opportunity to be where you are.
Right. And it was a 2-point game. The Cowboys were favored by 2. It's not like the Seahawks underperformed tremendously from what were, you know, and Vegas does a pretty good job with those numbers.
They do, don't they?
They knew that Sebastian Janikowski was going to pull a hammy, that the Seahawks were going to have to go for 2-point conversions, and that it would be exactly a 2-point game. Because that was the final point spread.
Anybody can look at Janikowski and say that guy might pull a muscle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, come on. He's 40 years old. He looks like an imposter out there on the field. Like he got an old uniform and snuck past the security guards.
That's right. Then last night, there was the national championship game, which I thought was, I'm telling you, the coach of Clemson is quickly becoming one of my favorite coaches in sports history.
Yeah.
I just, for me, it's that he, you know, is so, you know, professing of his faith, but he's also just a brilliant, brilliant coach. And that combination, man, Dabo Sweeney, I really like the guy.
Did you see the montage of him playing at Alabama where he's going around high-fiving all of his teammates and everything? What was it last night specifically that made you think about him that way?
For me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and yourself. And, very few people, there's so many great coaches that are so deserving of a moment like this that never get the chance to experience it. And to get to do it once and now to get to do it again, you know, it's a blessing. And it's just simply the grace of the good Lord to allow us to experience something like this. And I'm so happy for our team, our fans, our administration, our former players that love the ball. And there ain't never been a 15-0 team. And I know we're not supposed to be here. We're just little old Clemson. And I'm not supposed to be here. But we are. And I am. And how about them Tigers, man?
He just wears his joy. I think that his players feed off that. If you listen to him on the halftime interview when he's going into the locker room, they always ask two questions, not of Dabo Sweeney, because he will give he'll go like Pete Carroll. Yeah. He'll give a 2-minute in-depth answer and not just, I'm going to blow you off because I got to get in and start strategizing for the second half. The way he carries himself, I just love the guy.
I don't know if he can call himself little old Clemson, though. They've been in the championship game 3 out of the last 4 years.
Yeah,
right?
But with him.
But, yeah, he talks about everybody but himself there.
Yes.
Right? He talks about the team and the former players and the coaches that didn't get a chance to go there. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's probably going to – I mean, he's going to recruit well, right? A guy like that. I always say that about Chris Peterson. I mean, Chris Peterson sits in your living room. And I had those guys come through, you know, like Paul Wigan and Terry Donahue was the coach at UCLA, Don James, you know, and it matters, the impression that they make on the parents and the kid.
Yeah.
And Dabo Swinney's the best.
And that's what I said on Twitter last night. What parent wouldn't want their kid being mentored by a guy like that?
Right.
I just, you know, who is so positive. And so that led me to a question that I wanted to ask you, but I'm going to take a quick time out first.
Okay.
But greatest coaches, because I posted this on Twitter last night when I saw him, and I said he's one of the greatest coaches in any sport for me. One of my favorites.
Run DMC.
Good job.
Nice job, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave's up 1-0. So that's the question I'm going to ask you. Regardless of sport, your favorite, not the best necessarily.
Okay.
And I got my list. And we will continue talking with Dave Wyman as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Really sleazy. All they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy. MSG to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky. How is it, Dave? It's tricky, tricky, tricky. MSG to rock.
I heard you on the wireless back in the
Buggles.
Yep, you got it, Dory.
The Buggles.
The Buggles. What is, what gives this song a position in pop culture history?
What is it about this song?
Yes.
I have no idea.
When MTV first went on the air,
yeah,
this is the first video they ever played. Video killed the radio star. Which was very clever. It was a very clever first choice for first ever MTV song.
Do you remember how awesome MTV was when
yes.
that came on?
Yes.
Right about the time of ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, every time I flip by it, it's 16 and pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they do now.
Right.
They have all these teen mom and 16 and pregnant. Yeah. That's all they do. They don't have videos.
I think ESPN and MTV increased dope smoking by about 25%.
And they've both,
don't you think,
lost their way.
Yeah.
Both of them have horribly lost their way. Okay, I asked you a question. I said how much I love the Clemson coach. And so I said last night on Twitter... You can follow me on Twitter at Dory Monson. I said that my four favorite coaches, and I left one important one off the list that I will fix today. But how about you? Favorite coaches, regardless of sport, of all time.
Yeah, I always think about my track coach, Coach Phil Persons. You know, he was very good to me and just always helped me out. But track is such an individual sport, you know. But
right.
For them to coach you, it was just, there wasn't a whole lot, but he just paid a lot of attention to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom Mascheri was my basketball coach.
I do know
in
that,
high school.
The Super Seattle Supersonic,
yeah.
The poet.
Right. And then, you know, there's, gosh, favorite coach. Yeah. I mean, probably, I guess, best coach, everything, Tom Catlin. In the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't say a whole lot, but he taught me how to be a professional, I thought. And, as far as inspiration, though, I never had any, like, Pete Carroll type of coaches.
Well, obviously I didn't play the game like you did, so mine are all ones that I've observed, you know, some from afar, some from a little closer.
Wouldn't you have loved to play for Pete?
Yes.
As an athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he was on my list. I said, for me, my all-time favorite coaches... John Wooden, who was a man of such incredible principle and the greatest coach in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the run of NCAA championships, one loss and you're finished. And they won some like 9 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I had him on my show when he was 97 years old. And that was one of the great blessings in my life, having John Wooden on this show. It was unbelievable. So I had John Wooden, Dean Smith, who was my guru as I became a basketball coach because I got Dean Smith's Multiple Offense and Defense book, and that became my Bible.
Okay.
And then I said Pete Carroll, who I've learned so much from in my weekly conversations with him. And then I think Dabo Sweeney is on my list. But the one important one I left off is a guy you mentioned a few minutes ago. I was doing University of Washington play-by-play for the campus radio station. And Don James was an incredible mentor to me. He took mentoring me, I think, as seriously as he took mentoring his players. I mean, he was so good to me.
He's an amazing man.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and, you know, like he brought Warren Moon in back when nobody would have a black quarterback.
Right.
And he's part of Warren's, you know, past and everything. And I ran into him in like 1998. So I was, 3 years out of the league. I was at a golf tournament. And I walked past this table. And I went up to say hi to him. And he goes, I haven't seen you since I was sitting in your living room in Reno, Nevada.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
When you think about how many guys he recruited.
Yeah.
One of the great little joys of my life. I used to do highlights of other major league games at the Mariner games. And so I'd stand on the dugout and I'd narrate highlights on the big screen. And I'd do it at the end of the seventh inning, and then I'd run out of the stadium to beat the traffic. So I'm running through that big foyer entryway at Safeco Field, and I hear somebody yell, "Hey, Dory! Dory!" And I think it's just some listener. Not, I don't mean just some listener. They're all listeners are very special.
Oh, they're very precious.
But I kind of put up my hand. "Hey, how you doing?" I turn around. It was Coach James.
No way.
Yeah, and I just, I didn't even know if he remembered me.
Yeah.
Because it had been, I was a student there in 84. This was probably about 03. So it had been 20 years.
Must have made you feel like $1 million.
It did. It did, just yeah. like he did you. So that's the specialness. Okay, one other thing. The biggest moment in the playoffs this weekend, that Chicago Bears field goal,
mm-hmm.
the double doink.
Yeah.
Have you heard the...
I'm tired of people saying double doink.
Yeah, I am too. Have you heard the radio call of it?
No.
The Spanish?
Let's have it.
The Spanish.
We were supposed to do that yesterday, and we didn't get to it.
Oh, I'll get to it.
Pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. It's left. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Señor, no, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los hijos se van con la victoria. Ay, papá. No, señor. No, señor. Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia got a partido. Le dio poste.
I wish I enjoyed something that much.
Oh, my gosh.
George Harrison.
Yeah.
There you go, Dory.
I knew it was a Beatle.
Wow, I squeezed out a 2-1 nail-biter.
I love the Spanish broadcast when you hear all that, and then you hear Cody Parkey. This is awesome. They were in the booth one time with the Cowboys a long time ago when we were sitting there watching the game.
Yeah, well, that's right.
So entertaining.
You can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, Danny, Dave, and more, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Big lead to 2 next.